Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to August. Let's begin our worship today by rising and making confession before our God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You need a place where you can find some shelter. Follow me there. Follow me there. You want a hand to hold and someone to help you. Follow me there. Come on, follow me there. Find hope that will never die. Follow me there. Come on, follow me there. You need a place to be your sanctuary. Follow me there. Come on, follow me there. Where you can lay down all the burdens you carry. Follow me there. Come on, follow me there. Follow me there, come on, follow me there. When the lost can find salvation, and the lonely finds a friend, where the sinner finds forgiveness, won't you follow me there? Won't you follow me there? Where love like a river flows, and peace like you never know.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, your blessed Son came down from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world. Give us this bread, that he may live in us and we in him. Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
The first lesson this ninth Sunday after Pentecost comes from the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson comes from the 9th chapter of Romans. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred, according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenant, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel today for the 9th Sunday after Pentecost is read from the 14th chapter of Matthew. Now when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away, so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And they replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and Jesus the Christ. The account of the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew has been an inspiration to Christians in many diverse situations. It occurs immediately after Jesus and the disciples learn of the brutal murder of John the Baptist, and after a long day with large and desperate crowds. The disciples were understandably seeking to just get away. They were grief-stricken. So the disciples, as we would likely do, wanted to tell the crowds to go away. The gospel tells us, however, that Jesus had compassion and invited the multitudes to eat. The disciples were shocked because they could only locate 2 fish and 5 loaves, hardly enough to feed themselves, much less a crowd of thousands. Nevertheless, Jesus instructed them to feed the crowd. And not only did he get all enough to eat, but there were also 12 basketfuls left over. They must have been Lutheran because they had leftovers. The disciples were in for a surprise that evening, as often happened with Jesus, as they witnessed the miraculous power of God's love. I think it's important to note that this story is often labeled Jesus feeding the 5,000. But I want you to read it carefully. It wasn't Jesus. Nope. Jesus said to the disciples, "You go and feed them." They were told that they were to be the ones that would feed the people. Jesus has told us that we are to go and feed the people. This is the only miracle story that's found in all 4 Gospels. It obviously was of great importance to the early church, and some suggest that it was read regularly when the early Christians gathered for Eucharist. It draws a parallel from God providing manna from heaven for the children of Israel. The Hebrews were heading out into the desert from Egypt, and the meager provisions that they took with them were running out. A miracle from God put on the ground each morning a white substance that was good to eat, like honey. But the Hebrew people had to go and pick it up themselves. It wasn't on their tables. The providing of the manna, though, did come with conditions. God commanded that they were only to pick up enough for one day, not several days. They were to trust God that there would be fresh manna every morning. And when they did not trust God, they found out that the manna that they saved from yesterday had rotted overnight. The account of the feeding of the 5,000 was treasured by the early church because it taught Christians the very heart of the gospel message and was a deep source of hope and inspiration for Christians who were seeking to be faithful against great odds. In many parts of the world today, we see the resurrection power of the story of the loaves and fishes as it comes to life in different parts of the world. I saw it here in Sydney last Thanksgiving. I mentioned to you all that I thought it would be really good, and I put on this pew up front a bunch of grocery bags with a shopping list to go and buy for people for Thanksgiving dinner. When we finished the second service, I asked Donna, I says, how many bags are left on the pew? None. You took them all 36 of them. And the next day, Lynn calls me and says, there are people calling and wanting me to print a list of what to go buy. More people wanted to buy for the poor. God providing. When I went down to Davies Meats to order the hams that we were going to put in the bag, he says, how many do you want? Well, at that time, I said, I want 36. No problem. I will order them in and I will have them for you on Tuesday. Cool. He says, but don't worry. If you don't need all of them, I can sell them in the store, so don't panic. So that's how we left it. So I called him up Tuesday afternoon and I said, did the hams come in? Yes. He says, how many of them do you want? 48. What? 48. He says, but you only ordered 30. 36, I guess it was. I says, I know. The people kept coming, getting the list, doing the shopping, feeding the 5,000, not quite 5,000. But you did it. You all did it. As Jesus told us to go out and feed those around us, you did it. And those of you who are here who were part of the distribution that Wednesday evening can all give your stories about the tears on people's faces when they opened the door and you said, here's a bag with Thanksgiving dinner from the people of St. John's. The tears flowed. This is what Christ is asking you to do. I hope you will do it again this year, but I'm going to ask you one more thing. When it's time for distribution, I want you to take one of the high school kids with you. Some of them need to see how some people are living in Sydney, the poverty that is in this town that a lot of people don't really realize. So if they go and help distribute these bags of food, they can get a sense of what they're really doing. And so the power of this story of the loaves and the fishes coming alive in Sydney, Ohio, it was awesome. It's a story of great power because it demonstrates God's love for everyone, and it teaches what it means to follow Christ and assures us of God's power for good in our world today. And we really need that. This story teaches us that God is love. God can be counted on for our care. The reality here is that Jesus had compassion. In spite of incredible pressures to the contrary, compassion for the people was his prime motivation. This was not some abstract thinking. It was live. It was feeding them. It was caring for them, caring for their most basic needs. He wanted to feed the hungry. We should wake up and see Jesus' basic orientation so that our actions need to be for the poor. God, who is the ultimate power for the universe, intends peace for the world and an end to hunger, the well-being for families and spiritual wholeness for all people. As we learn about the disciples from this lesson, they were given an awesome responsibility, that same responsibility that God has entrusted to us. God gives us tasks like feeding the poor. God has entrusted each one of us to be the body of Christ, the hands and the feet through which God's work is done in the world. God doesn't work alone. He works through his people, you, me, doing God's work for his people. Following Jesus is a way we express our faith in concrete acts of love, justice, and compassion. It's no accident that Matthew tells us that we will meet Jesus when we reach out to the least of our brothers and sisters, the hungry, the thirsty, the imprisoned, the homeless, the unemployed, the abused. And the list could go on and on. I hope that soon we will be able to resume our community meals as we could reach out in that way. This gospel story also reminds us that when we need it most, God will give us the wisdom and the power to work for the good of the world, a reality that many of us have discovered when we are faced with situations we don't think we can manage. When God told Moses to go and demand release of the Hebrews from Egypt, Moses says, "Wait, I can't do this. I don't speak very well." Some scholars think that Moses actually stuttered, and that was why he said that. Last week, we heard that when God asked Solomon, "What do you want?" He said, "I want wisdom. I want a discerning mind so that I can govern your people the way you want it done." So it shouldn't be any surprise that when Jesus told the disciples to feed the 5,000, the disciples thought it was impossible. The needs were great and the resources were few. And I think almost all of us have felt the same way at different times. When the disciples worked together and followed Jesus, they had more than enough. When we work together and follow Jesus, we will have enough. This is the power of Almighty God. This is the gift that He gives to us to reach out to His people. This is the gift He gives to other people by having you come into their lives, and not just food, companionship, shelter, whatever it needs to be. A promise that God will be with you. God's intention for love, peace, and justice will ultimately prevail. That's a promise we need today, if we're even able to dream about being faithful and carrying out the call of Christ. Jesus comes to offer life in fullness to a world that is gripped by the forces of evil, which are driving millions of people and the planet itself into the most desperate situations. We know that's a promise the Lord kept with the disciples on the hillside in Galilee, and He's kept with God's faithful people over the centuries, and He will keep it with you. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 is very familiar to most Christians, but the message is always new. Thanks be to God for all of you. Amen. Please rise. We'll profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we've done ever since we came back to worship together in this building, the offering plates are at the back door and up here. Thank you very much for your faithfulness with your offerings, which enable the ministry of St. John's to go on. Blessed are You, O Lord, our God, maker of all things. Through Your goodness, You have blessed us with these gifts, and with them we offer ourselves to Your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that You have made. For the sake of Him who gave Himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Confident in Your care and led by the Holy Spirit, we offer these prayers for all. You take resources that appear to be meager, and bless them, and there is enough. May the family of St. John's trust that what You have blessed us with and then ask us to share with the world is abundantly sufficient. Lord, in your mercy, your bounty you've provided in your creation, offer sustenance and life for all creatures. Protect this abundance for the well-being of all. Reverse the damage that we have caused in creation. Replenish groundwater supplies. Provide needed rains in places of drought. Protect forests from wildfires. Lord, in your mercy, you offer yourself to all the nations and the peoples of the earth. Let all accept your invitation to abundant life. Bring to fullness all nations that will run to you, and that nations who do not know you will find you and their joy in you. Lord, in your mercy, open your hand and satisfy the desire of all who come to you. Hear the anguish of tender hearts who are crying to you in suffering. Bring wholeness and healing to those who are suffering in body, heart, soul, and mind. Lord, in your mercy, your gift of salvation is freely offered to all. Give St. John such a welcoming heart that our words and actions may extend your free and abundant hospitality to all we encounter. Lord, in your mercy, we ask for you, for healing, for care, for Mary Ball. She's back in the hospital. Please be with her and with Tad during this very difficult time for them. Lord, in your mercy, in the certain hope that nothing can separate us from your love, we offer these prayers to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It's right to give him thanks, praise.
It's indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord. In him you have received us as your children, made us citizens of your kingdom, and given us your Holy Spirit to guide us in all truth. Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, endless is your mercy and eternal your reign. You have filled all creation with light and life. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Through Abraham, you promised to bless all nations. You rescued Israel, your chosen people. And then through the prophets, you renewed your promise. And at this end of all the ages, you sent your Son, who in words and deeds proclaimed your kingdom and was obedient to your will, even to giving his life. In the night in which he was betrayed, Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant that comes from the shedding of my blood for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Therefore, gracious Father, with this bread and cup, we remember the life of our Lord offered for us, and believing the witness of his resurrection, we await his coming in power to share with us the great and promised feast.
Amen.
Come, Lord. As we've been called together by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the table that Christ has prepared for each one of you. Amen.
Stage of grace.
Jesus Christ, host of this meal, you've given us not only this bread and cup, but your very self, that we may feast on your great love. Filled again by these signs of your grace, may we hunger for your reign of justice. May we thirst for your way of peace, for you are Lord forevermore. Amen. You have been blessed by the gift of life. You've been blessed by the provisions of God the Father. You have been blessed by the saving grace of Jesus Christ the Son. And you are blessed each day by the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. This is the good news of the gospel. Amen. As you leave this place, you do have hope for the future. It's in Jesus Christ. Share this hope with all that you encounter each day. Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Nothing can separate, even if I run away. Mistakes, but you have new mercy for me every day, 'cause your love never fails. Oh no, oh no. You stay the same through the ages, your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Waters deep, I'm not alone here in these open seas. Your love never fails. The chasm is far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side. Your love.